It's Jared of the GM. Floyd, the CBA talks are rocking and a rolling, even though there's still 18 months to go before the expiration of this current CBA. I think what's happened is the owners and the players have decided so much so that they don't want a lockout that they'll just go ahead and just figure it out now so we don't run up right to it and then try to figure it out. But we've seen a lot of posturing in terms of, you know, owners might want this and the players might want that. And there are certain things I just believe that even though you may want it, like I don't think the players want Thursday night football. Well, Thursday night football is not going away, so get used to it. And the owners have always wanted an 18-game schedule, but the players have absolutely had no interest in an 18-game schedule unless they got paid for 18 games. I believe if you paid the players, if you paid them proportionately for two more games, they'd ultimately come around to it because at the end of the day, football players do like getting paid. But that's neither here nor there. And apparently the 18-game schedule is already dead. According to The Athletic, the NFL has dropped a proposal for an 18-game season and is now focused on expanding the regular season to 17 games, ownership sources said. Owners were briefed on the change at committee meetings in Houston this week. The current schedule is 16 games. Quote, not enough owners support for 18, and players would not go for it either, one of the sources said. The 17-game proposal will be paired with a reduction in the preseason by a game or two from the current four. So there are 18 months to go in this current CBA, but apparently it feels like the owners are going to take their attention from an 18-game season to a 17-game season with taking away one or two preseason games. Floyd, what do you think of the idea of a 17-game season, and what do you think of the owners' decision to kind of cave from when they had been on, they had wanted 18 games for forever, but to kind of move it down and try to go for 17 games?
Well, I mean, first of all, I don't think they've done that. But I mean, you know, as early as this is, I'm not sure I'd put much credence into anything. You know, this is all just posturing. This is all just pre-negotiation kind of stuff. And I think we'll see both sides float a lot of things out there just to get some kind of a view, you know, what the other side thinks about it, what the public thinks about it, and go from there. So I don't, you know, I mean, when it's all signed, then I'll believe it. Until then, I think there's just going to be so much back and forth and back and forth. And I wish you were right. I wish they'd be saying that, hey, let's get this thing done so we don't have to go through work stoppages and all those kinds of things. But, you know, it's like every other big business. I mean, nothing gets done unless there's a deadline, and they need a deadline, I'm sure.
Okay, but like let's just then analyze the idea of a 17-game season. I mean, and I'm with you. I'm sure that it'll come down to the last minute, and then, you know, Jerry will say something that'll tick the players off, and Goodell and Demoris Smith will go at it as we get closer to the deadline. I don't know. I don't even care about that. But 17-game season, for or against?
Well, I mean, in my mind, you can't go past 16 without a lot more rule changes. And that's why I think this is all smoke, because you can't just propose, okay, we're going to change to the other side, say, okay, we're going to go 17 games. Because if you go 17 games with the same rules, then it's going to be a mess for everybody.
Is it? It's one extra game.
It's a one extra real game. I mean, we just saw one game this year where we lost Roethlisberger and we lost Breeze at the same week. I mean, if you have a catastrophic week like that again at the beginning and you lose Brady and you lose Mahomes, I'm going to tell you what, the league won't like that.
I know, but you run the risk of losing Brady and Mahomes this week.
Yeah, but well, you don't want to add a week to that. I mean, it's right now they're all set at 16. I mean, that's just me.
I mean, those two guys are probably planning on playing 19 to 20 games this year anyways.
Yeah, so, you know, why do you want to make, they're saying, why do you want to make it 21? You know, or why do you want to make it 22? I mean, and yet we're all, I think, aware of the fact that people are trying to head that way. But my point being, I think there's got to be too many things done with the rules, and IR and what you can and can't do and when you can and can't do it and the trade deadline. I think a lot of things would have to be done to increase the length of regular season in my mind.
Okay.
I mean, dropping two preseason games that your vets don't play in to add a game that they're going to play lights out in. I mean, I'm not sure that's a great deal. And they're certainly not going to do it without another week's pay. I mean, I can tell you that.
Well, yeah, you're going to have to give them that. Maybe easier to give them that, though. I mean, you probably get more from the networks by having an extra week than you would. I'm trying to figure out.
Oh, TV'd love it.
Oh, yeah. So you'd probably get the money from that.
TV'd love 30 games.
But you'd probably get the money from that to pay them the extra week. I guess for me, one, I just wonder logistically, how would you add a 17th game? You know, how would every team have to play one more game and it still remain fair, right?
Get rid of the bye.
Well, no, I'm not saying that.
That's what they're thinking.
No. I'm saying not the length of the season. I'm thinking about, so right now, you play the two teams, you play your three division opponents twice, you play the four teams in another division, you play the four teams in the other conference, and then you play the two games against your corresponding division team, right? Like you finish second, so you play two second-place teams. You finish third, right, et cetera. How do you come up with the 17th game? Who do you play? The only thing I could think of is that you would play the corresponding team in the other conference in your division that finished in the place you finished last year. So if the Titans finished third last year and Atlanta finished third last year, then you play Atlanta because you're both in the South, so you play. But would that be how you would do it? Or I don't know how you would add the 17th game.
Yeah, well, you...
To make it remotely fair.
Yeah, and you'd have to be careful because you don't want to play the same division. I mean, if you're playing the NFC South anyway, I mean, you don't want to play Atlanta twice. I mean, they don't want that. So,
I think it'd be cool to kind of get two games against a team out of your division every now and then.
They would have to rotate that around some way, shape, or form to make sure that they didn't, you don't repeat teams that aren't in your division.
So let me just state for the record, I don't think we need to change any rules to football. I mean, maybe some here or there, like the IR thing you're talking about, to add one extra game. And I'm for one extra game. As long as it makes sense on the schedule, I don't care if Brady has to go out there and risk getting hurt one more week. Play the extra game.
And this is why when you hear players talk, they talk about that, that's just what they're talking about.
It's like Thursday Night
fans
Football.
Say, what about the fans? Fans don't care about me. Fans
You're
just
right.
care about what I do.
You're right. It's like us on the radio. I mean, you know, it's like me on the radio, right? Like people say, happy birthday. Do I really, you don't care that it, you know, people don't care about that. They want to hear about sports. So we talk about sports. There's some other people that think you go on on the radio and just talk about TV shows and stuff all day. And maybe that works, but not for us because we just talk sports. And that's what we wanted, to just talk sports because that's our job. Your job is to play football. And I would like to watch you play one more week than you currently play. And is it a selfish request? Of course it's a selfish request. But guess what? It's like Thursday Night Football. Thursday Night Football is terrible for the players, right?
Yeah, health-wise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a horrible product, right? You don't get a whole week to prepare. The games are usually lopsided, so on and so forth. I mean, I'm excited for Packers and Eagles tonight. I don't know about you, but we get Packers-Eagles tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I'd much rather have Packers-Eagles tonight.
You're excited about those Packers, aren't you?
Yeah,
you want to see that LaFleur coach him up and down the field like juggernauts.
They ain't going up and down any field. Your quarterback, Wentz, has got to redeem himself. But again, I love Thursday Night Football. I do. I love it. And so even though it's bad for the game, theoretically, I love it. And I'm excited for tonight. And if they go to 17 games, you will hear me cheer the loudest. That's one extra pregame show we get to do. That's one extra chance if your team stinks and you got to start winning games at the end of the year that you get. I love the idea of a 17-game schedule. And to me, even though I've never played in the NFL before, I don't think the wear and tear of one extra week is that big of a deal.
Okay.
But you do.
Oh, absolutely.
It's one game.
Absolutely.
It's one extra game. It's all I want. One extra game. And I, you know what? I love that idea. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. According to The Athletic, the NFL is thinking about asking for a 17-game schedule, and I'm all for it. Your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Jared the GM live. Oh, coming up next, there is another NFL story that makes me feel I worry about a star player in the NFL that no one else worries about. I'm worried. We'll get to that coming up next. Jared and the GM live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN at 102.5 The Game. So The Athletic reports the NFL owners are interested in not an 18-game schedule anymore, but a 17-game schedule. And Adam Schefter from ESPN reporting now, Floyd, that could, in exchange, eliminate all four preseason games to get one extra regular season game. What do you think of that little nugget from Adam Schefter?
Yeah, again, I mean, that just gives you an idea where this is. You know, the proposal was supposed to be out there. It's already changed in, you know, part of a day. So it's, I mean, they're not, the owners are not going to give up three games worth of money. I can tell you that. Just too much money involved.
Well, it's like we were talking about the TV partners. The TV partners do like preseason games. The TV ratings do like preseason games. And the league-owned network needs preseason games. Like, isn't that the thing about the NFL network, where you can watch every preseason game is on the NFL network? Like, the NFL network needs the preseason. So I can't imagine them not having a preseason, no matter how bad it is, because people still watch it. And with the advent of legalized sports gambling, people are going to keep watching it. My buddy said that he lives in New Jersey, and he downloaded like the DraftKings app or the FanDuel app or one of those apps. He said that he was up at 7 in the morning watching like a pro-am women's tennis tournament and like was live betting it. And was like super into it because people bet the preseason. So I can't imagine the NFL would get rid of the preseason. If they did that, would it be worth getting rid of the preseason to add one extra game? Let's just say that is the proposal, that the league says we'll get rid of the preseason for one extra game. Do the players want it? And would it be good for football?
And it wouldn't be good for football. And I can't imagine the players would want it, but I don't know. But the owners aren't going to want it. You know, that's the key issue here. I mean, for the play, we see what football is now with four preseasons played the way that we're playing them. So imagine no preseason and going into the season. First month of football would look like huck and buck.
Well, how do you even get better or decide whether or not guys can play? And, you know, how do you decide the bottom of your roster if you don't have preseason games?
I have no clue.
Let's go to your phone, 615-737-1025. Roman is up next. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Roman.
Yeah, I'm not sure how TV contracts are structured, but I don't know if Fox pays per week, but I don't know why you wouldn't give guys an extra bye week or two, let guys get healthy, get more TV revenue. I mean, I don't know the last time the Titans were on a bye week and I didn't turn into some other game. I mean, when the games aren't any good anyway, I watch a different game. So that would get guys healthy. If Brady's got a sore ankle and he's got an extra two bye weeks in a year, that extends the NFL season by 2 weeks as far as Monday night football, Sunday night football, just every Sunday, basically. Would that not get the NFL more revenue, teams more revenue, without adding actual games they have to play?
Oh, God, that would be such a good idea for television. Thank you for the call, Roman. I mean, if you were to basically take your slate of games and, I don't want to say have it, but, you know, instead of six games on a Sunday, you have four games on a Sunday and give extra buys, I think TV would love that idea.
Oh, I don't know. You could be right. I just don't know.
Any kind of football.
I mean, that adds the season. That adds another, 2 weeks?
of time. And they don't want to play before Labor Day.
I mean, you're stretching it out pretty good now.
I mean, I think they like being contained within Labor Day to New Year's. And then the playoffs after New Year's, obviously. I don't think they like being... they've done it before, obviously, where they've played before Labor Day or played on Labor Day weekend. I don't think they like that. And they've done it where the season ends after New Year's, and I think they really don't like that. Now, sometimes you can't adjust it, but they don't want to play regular season games on January 10th, do they?
I mean, that would mean that the Super Bowl would end up,
Valentine's Day.
1 week.
But are you okay with that? I mean, are you okay with the Super Bowl being February 13th instead of February
3rd? Well, now you're adding another week. So the Super Bowl teams are going to start in March, and they're going to go through April. I mean, that's a pretty long year. But I don't know. I mean, this is just what I'm talking about, though. When you start just adding one game, I mean, there's so many logistics involved as to what you can do and what you can't do, and we can't let this happen. And I mean, it gets really, really sticky. I mean, it takes years, literally years, to figure it out.
I also believe on the front about adding the bye weeks, instead of adding extra games, you just drag out the season longer. I do think that would work, because any football game outrates everything else on television. Like, you could put on the Texans and Carolina as a nationally televised game,
right,
and everybody would watch it if there was nothing else to watch.
I mean, the question is, what else does it affect? You know, you're playing now. I mean, that's going to affect regular season for hockey. It's going to affect regular season for basketball. It's going to affect...
Well, all those sports should change what they do anyways.
That's what I'm saying. So now you're changing...
But they're
your
not going
season.
To.
You change your season, then they're going to have to change their season.
They're not going
to
change their seasons.
Because... Well, not the length of the season or the time, but I'm saying their games when they play. They don't want to play an NFL game, NFL week, game. I mean, no, and they won't. So, for example, in hockey, what if you said, okay, now you can't play Monday night, and you can't play Thursday night, and you can't play Sundays, and you can't, bam, when the playoffs come in, you can't play Saturdays. And you can't, I mean,
they already do all of those
a sudden,
things,
all of a sudden you're locked into 2 days a week of hockey.
No, they already do that, though. Like, the Predators have had games.
They don't have playoff games late into the season. I'm not talking about the beginning of the year. I'm not talking about like next week. I'm talking about playoffs into February, end of January, February.
Right, I mean, but they still play games. Like, they still have Preds games on Saturday nights of NFL playoff games.
Oh, if they like.
No, they do that now. Okay. Like, the last 2 years, the Titans have been on Thursday Night Football. There's been a Preds game.
Oh.
On that night, we just, we're watching a Titan game that day.
I guess that's a good thought.
But,
I don't know. I don't think I'd want my games in. Can we change it?
Well, they've both been road games, and I do wonder if the Predators, if they tell the NHL, like, hey, we're not playing a home game on the day of a Thursday night Titans game. But, like, for me, I think that they should change the sports schedule anyways. I think hockey should play their playoffs instead of May and June. I think the hockey playoffs should be June and July. Push the season back. Don't start hockey until, Black Friday. Start hockey then, December 1st, and then play your playoffs in June and July when there's nothing else on and there's no basketball and nothing. And then I think baseball should trim their season and play their playoffs on September 1st or even before then. Like, if we get a late August playoffs in baseball, I think I'd be okay with that. The problem with the baseball playoffs are they're totally overshadowed by football. I mean, no one saw – I saw something today that was like a race for the playoffs on ESPN, the Cubs versus the Cardinals. And I'm like, didn't the Cubs just get eliminated? That's the race for the playoffs? But I don't know. And you turn on Stephen A. Smith and Max, they're not talking about the Cubs. But if you put the playoffs in August, they would all talk about baseball, and we'd all be back into it. The problem is all these sports run by traditionalists who don't understand that their product needs changes in order to be better, because you get the guys at the NHL office who are, in Canada, we do not change hockey season by 1 month. And I'm like, why not? Why not? Why don't you play games in July? Oh, it's too hot outside to play games in July. You're playing games in June. It's just as hot in June as it is in July. So why can't we play hockey in July when there's nothing else going on? Nothing in the American sports landscape except for a little bit of golf. Why can we not play hockey in July? But you know they'd never go
nobody
for
Nobody plays
it.
Hockey outside anyway, so it doesn't matter how hot it is outside.
If you were to walk into Gary Bettman's office and you were to say, Gary, move the season back. Baseball's going on in October. Football's going on in October. College football's going on in October. Move the season back to December 1st. College football's basically over at that point. Baseball's over. And play it until July. So in June and July, your playoffs, in a society now where we can bet legally throughout most of the country, your sport will be the only sport being played in June and July. Everybody will watch. You don't think ESPN would say, hey, boy, we got to get those rights. And then NBC would say, we got to pay more to keep those rights. I do. And you'd have more hockey fans in West Virginia and Kansas and Oklahoma and places like that because there's nothing else to watch on TV. But if you walked into Gary Bettman's office, he'd get out of here with that nonsense.
Yeah, I think they, you know, things like Summer Olympics and Winter Olympics and things like that affect some of those decisions.
The Summer Olympics happens once every 4 years.
Right. But when they happen,
and that's August.
When they happen, they're
for 2 weeks.
They're forever and everybody's watching them.
Right. But that's in August. So you've got the June and July and then go right into the Olympics. Scott has a thought on Thursday night football. Go ahead, Scott. Scott. Oh, I thought he wanted to talk about the Thursday night football. My take on Thursday night football quickly. Players don't like it. I love it. Love the fact that the Eagles play the Packers tonight. And I know it's not a fair game, but I don't care. I love it. Hopefully the Eagles will win. I'm not expecting them to, but hopefully they will. 615-737.
You're rooting for LaFleur, aren't you? You want him to win another one? Coach, what's he, 3-0, 4-0, 5-0? Where is he?
In spite of him. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, Mike Vrabel says something about Derrick Henry I know can't be true. We'll get to that coming up next. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Authentically American. Dean, a veteran from Authentically American, the founder, CEO of Authentically American, stopped by today with some, I guess you can call them birthday gifts, I don't know, with some of their new T-shirt collections I'm all excited about with Authentically American, this right here is for Army football, and it is fantastic, and it's got the secret ink that you got to sweat through in order to see the message, which, of course, is very popular, as is everything with Authentically American, including everything that we rock here. That's right. We wear Authentically American here at ESPN 102.5 The Game, and your business can, too. It's simple. Go to AuthenticallyAmerican.us. Authentically American, and they will take great care of you and giving you products that look as good, if not better, than what you're already buying, but it's better quality and it's competitively priced. Everything from Authentically American is made right here in the United States of America. Authentically American is a brand about celebrating patriotism, believing in the American worker, and honoring our American heroes. That's right. They donate 10% of their gross profits to veteran and first responder charities. Authentically American, online at AuthenticallyAmerican.us. Authentically American, the next iconic brand that is truly American-made. Jared of the GM, CSPN 102.5 The Game.
Derrick Henry dropping a couple of passes on screen passes. Does that at all deter you, Mike, from using him in maybe more passing down situations, opting for Deion in those instances?
No.
Mike Vrabel, do you believe that now?
I didn't hear the question.
Play the clip again, please, Ian. Mike Vrabel asked about Derrick Henry as a pass catcher.
Derrick Henry dropping a couple of passes on screen passes. Does that at all deter you, Mike, from using him in maybe more passing down situations, opting for Deion in those instances?
No.
He is lying.
I love it.
Now look, you want to know how I know he's lying? Because I love Derrick Henry more than anybody. And I can't throw Derrick Henry the ball right now. I can't throw Derrick the ball. And I know they can't throw Derrick the ball. And it kills me that they can't throw Derek the ball, but they can't throw him the ball because he can't catch. And he had a touchdown, I was told, against Jacksonville, the way the play was developing when he dropped that pass. And it was 14-0, and if he catches it and scores a touchdown, it's 14-7 in a totally different football game. And he dropped it. And it's not like these have been hard passes to catch. They've hit him right in the hands. So I know if Vrabel can't – I know that if I can't trust them to throw the ball to Derrick Henry, I know Vrabel can't trust them to throw the ball to Derrick Henry. Now, I love the bluntness in Vrabel's answer because Vrabel can't say yes.
He wasn't going to get into it.
No. Vrabel can't say yes because if Vrabel says yes, then all of a sudden it's like Vrabel doesn't believe in Derrick Henry. But Floyd, like, let's be real here. You know Vrabel's wanted to go, that's the only reason we put Deion in the game.
Yeah, I mean, they're looking for somebody to be that fifth receiver. I mean, it's really and you know, our offense isn't to this point yet, but, you know, hopefully at some point in time during the year we will. When you get to the point that you want to get five receivers out to do something to control coverage, I mean, when Derek's back there, it's going to be hard. I mean, he's one of those guys you don't bother covering a great deal.
And it kills me because he's caught two passes in his career he's taken to the barn. 75 against Cleveland, 65 against Jacksonville 2 years ago. If Derek catches the ball, and especially given how well he runs in space, he could be a great receiver out of the backfield.
Well, part of the reason those plays work is because it is Derek. And he did catch it.
It's not like when you're playing basketball against a fat kid and all of a sudden he goes up skies for a rebound. Oh, my God, this guy.
Yeah. Don't bother guarding him until he, you know, puts in
he
about
pops four threes
15.
And now all of a sudden it's like, all right, yep, guard him.
Yeah. So there's a little bit of that involved, I'm afraid.
I mean, the one thing that bothers me about Derrick Henry, and you know how much I pump for him and I want them to put him in the game and I want them to keep giving him the ball and all of that, is it is very difficult for him to be the kind of running back, or it's difficult for me to envision Derrick Henry living up to his potential as a runner if he's a non-factor in the passing game. He has to, I don't know how you teach him how to catch or anything like that, but he has to matter in the passing game, because if not, it goes back to the very thing you said when we were talking about, should they sign Deion Lewis, and you were against the idea of bringing Deion Lewis in because you didn't want Derek to run out onto the field and it to say, hey, we are running. And then when Deion comes out there, for it to be, hey, we are passing. And through 2 years, that's exactly what it's been.
And, you know, I mean, the sad part is, and I don't know how he's doing now. I really haven't paid attention. But, you know, if you can't pick up blitzes and if you can't, you know, do some of those kinds of things from a protection standpoint, it even makes it worse because it's, you know, literally every time he's in the game, you're going to see an eight-man front. Why? Because you're running the ball.
Well, is he as bad in pass protection as he used to be still?
That's what I said. I don't know. I haven't paid attention. But, I mean, with all these sacks we're getting and all the stuff involved, there's breakup someplace.
Is his lack of ability in the passing game the reason why you don't love him like you love DeMarco Murray?
Well, with DeMarco,
I mean, you wanted to cry when they let DeMarco go.
DeMarco could do everything. DeMarco was as smart as anybody on the field, caught the ball like a receiver, and led the AFC in rushing. You know, I mean, it's hard to find those guys. And what he did was truly special, and I think it's, you know, with a guy like that in the game, what's the play going to be? You know, now you really can look at it and say, okay, they got six in the box, turn around, here, DeMarco. You know, oh, eight in a box, okay, run up the seam, DeMarco. You know, I mean, you've got all those different options that you just don't have now. And you say, well, you can still throw the ball, and you can throw the ball. And you may be able to throw the ball as effectively. But when your offense gets to the point that you want to go to that next step, that next step's never going to be there, you know, with him, because you're never going to be able to say, okay, get the fifth guy out. You know, if we had the fifth guy running this route, or if we had the fifth guy cleaning up for, you know, this over-the-top route, then we'd be in great shape. Yeah, but you know, the Vince guy is. You know, you don't want to do that.
Can they coach Derrick Henry to be a better receiver?
Oh, I'm sure people have tried for a long time. I mean, this is, what, his third year?
Fourth year.
I'm sure they've tried really, really hard.
I know Vrabel can't say it because if Vrabel says it, it's a... I mean, you know, we're talking about it now. Vrabel said literally as little as possible. And we're still talking about
it. Two letters.
But if Vrabel,
it's pretty simple.
But if Vrabel said yes, like if Vrabel said yes in the sense of, yes, we can't trust Derrick Henry in passing situations, then it would be 4 hours of Vrabel slamming Derrick Henry and now what do you do and all of that stuff.
Exactly.
But the truth is, he can't trust him in passing situations, can he? He's had two balls hit him square in the hand the last two games. But it's almost like you have to pretend like it doesn't matter because if you don't throw to him, now everybody in the world knows what you're doing.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that, you know, how many passes he caught this year? I can think of one.
One?
Okay. I'm sure it's not a secret. You know, it's just hard. I mean, and that's why, I mean, when you look at running backs in the NFL now, I mean, running backs in the NFL are as good receiving the ball as they are running the ball. I mean, they catch a ton of ball. I'm talking about the upper echelon guys. You know, even guys like Zeke, who carries the ball all the time, I mean, they're throwing him passes all the time. So, I mean, those guys bring a completely different element to it because, like I said, you now are running your plays according to the defense you're seeing, not running your plays according to who you have in the game, even though you know it's a bad play. So that makes it a little tougher.
Like, how much does it hurt the Titans that Derrick Henry can't catch out of the backfield? To me, I think that is humongous.
Well, I mean, you're a defense.
But Eddie George wasn't like a receiver out of the backfield.
Well, no.
But he could still catch the ball when he threw him the ball.
He could catch. It wasn't, you know, he wasn't he didn't have receiver hands, but he had good running back hands. You know, the thing with DeMarco had receiver hands. And so it didn't matter. I mean, you could ask him to do anything from a pattern reception standpoint, and he could probably do it. You know, come real, real close to doing exactly the way he wanted. And I'm not sure. I mean, Eddie probably couldn't do that. Eddie was good, but not DeMarco type, and Derek is, you know, a little bit less than that.
So what do you do? Coach him up?
Well, I mean, like I said, he went to the University of Alabama. I understand they got a pretty good coach there.
That coach says he can catch out of the backfield.
I'm going to guess that they probably tried to get him to catch the ball there. And he's been here in his fourth season with – and a couple of those with the guy you think's the best coach in the history of the game.
Nick Saban?
Malarkey.
Oh.
So, and he had Robiski as his offensive coordinator. That's 2-0 versus the Titans. So I'm sure coaches of that quality tried.
43 receptions on 57 targets for Derrick Henry in his career.
In his career?
Yeah. Is that bad? 43 of 57 for a running back?
That's 10 a year.
I'm just saying, is it bad, like, proportionately to targets? 57 targets, 43 catches.
Oh, I don't know. That's not awful. I mean,
okay, but he's just happened to drop the ball twice in a row, so now they can throw to him and he can catch it in future games.
I wouldn't get carried away.
They got to do something. They got to do something. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Are we worried about Derrick Henry and his inability as a pass catcher? Vrabel, quite frankly, says no. Do we agree? I think Vrabel's just not telling the truth, to be honest with you. 615-737-1025. Also coming up next, D. Mace has a wild, I shouldn't say wild, D. Mace has a take about what the Titans should do because Derrick Henry can't catch. We'll get to that next. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I think Derrick Henry is a hell of a running back, but he's just a running back. That's all he is. He's not. He hasn't proven that he can catch the ball consistently for him to stay on the field for three down.
That was D. Mace this morning on Morning Drive. talking about, hey, I love Derrick Henry, but he's just a running back, and he can't be on the field for three downs.
I think we just talked about that.
Which is
they?
What we just talked about. Now, D-Mace has a take, and I want to get your opinion of this take. Did you see who's returning to football as of today?
The running back?
Melvin Gordon in L.A. is returning to football, and it doesn't seem like the Chargers really missed Melvin Gordon at all. And Melvin Gordon wants to get paid, and Melvin Gordon wants his money. And unlike Le'Veon Bell, Melvin Gordon's not dumb enough to leave for the whole year to not accrue the year, to not just get to go to free agency, which is what Melvin Gordon is doing. He is coming back so that he can get the rest of his $5 million salary and then go be a free agent. And D. May says he thinks the Titans would be in play for Melvin Gordon. This is what D. May said this morning on Morning Drive.
I can pay Gordon 11, 12, draft a guy, and still have another guy.
Right.
And still equal up to maybe a little bit over what I'm paying Derrick Henry and Deion Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm getting a much better and complete back.
Yeah.
In Melvin Gordon. So, you know, if that indeed would happen, don't be surprised. If he hits free agency market, which I think he will, Gordon. If Derrick Henry, it looks as if they are not re-signing him here, which if he doesn't start catching the ball consistently out the backfield, I don't know if they will re-sign him here. You know, as good as he is a runner, he lacks in the passing category in a league that put a premium on pass catching running backs.
Floyd, what do you think about D. Mace's take? Go get Melvin Gordon in the offseason. And don't re-sign Derrick Henry. Let Deion Lewis go and make Melvin Gordon your running back.
Yeah, I mean, I've liked Melvin Gordon. The part that concerns me is he's had an injury history.
Yep.
And that's, as a running back, it's easy to get dinged. And I think that would scare me the most. Because you go out and you play for the one thing about Derrick, knock on wood, is that he's there every week. And I would worry about Melvin and his health and him only being there part of the time because, you know, now you're right. It's the opposite, but still you become one dimensional without a running back.
Why not trade for Melvin Gordon now? I mean, if the Chargers were willing to give Melvin Gordon permission to go seek a trade, why not trade Melvin Gordon and then give him an extension? And then this year you have Gordon on the roster with Derrick Henry. And then you let Henry go in the offseason, and then Melvin Gordon is the number one running back of the Titans.
Well, that's not going to help the injury issue.
Okay, what
if
about...
If that's what you're afraid of.
Yeah, but if you're going to give him the money, like D. May says, give him the money, then you're not afraid of the injury history.
Right.
And this general manager has proven he does not care about injury histories.
Well, that's what would concern me with him. And you can't, you know, you can never... can't is an awful word. Never is an awful word. But... You don't want to trade for a guy and then sign him to a contract. You got no leverage. You got nothing. You know, you just gave up a first rounder and now you got to sign him for whatever he wants because you can't lose the first rounder. So, you know, you got to find a way to get a deal done with them. You know, what actually has to happen is San Diego probably have to sign him and then they'd have to get sign him to the deal, you know, you negotiate the deal, sign him to the deal, and then trade for him.
So my theory behind that would be to then trade for Melvin Gordon, have him on your team, and then at the end of the year tag him if you can't. Your leverage against him is to tag him.
Well, didn't he just go through that? I mean, if he's not going to show up when he's got a contract, he's not going to show up with a tag.
Then you can work out a deal.
I just said that, but you got no leverage. Here's a guy that held out with a contract. He's obviously, now this is just me, he's obviously concerned about the length of his career.
He wants one big payday.
He wants a giant payday.
Which is a worry if you're the Titans.
Because he's worried about getting hurt again. He's gone through a couple years here where he's banged up a lot. And you know, I got to get my money now because... We know running backs and how long their careers are going to be and all of that stuff. So that would be an issue for me.
Do you also think the issue would be as soon as he gets paid, then he's done caring?
I don't know.
Because you have to know the guy before you can.
Yeah, and I don't know him.
I do wonder, too, the other thing, the state of California, as we all know, the taxes there compared to the taxes here are very different. And does that play a role for Melvin Gordon? I don't know the answer to that either. But I'm not ready to give up on Derrick Henry yet, although he does have to start catching the ball when it hits him in the hands. Like, I don't know how you can play in the NFL if the ball – I mean, even if you're a defensive player and the ball keeps hitting you in the hands and you drop it, like, that's a problem, much less an offensive player.
That's how you become a defensive player.
The ball hits you in the hands, what you can't catch,
you can't catch the ball. You go play defense.
Brenda wants to get in on the football and hockey schedules. Go ahead, Brenda.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. Yeah, I like your idea, especially with hockey. But why
you're talking about my idea to move hockey back a couple months and play the playoffs in June and July?
Exactly, and everybody else move accordingly. Why would the upper above not see the benefit in that? Where I don't have to choose this, that, or the other, I can do it all. And they get revenue from all of it. Why can they not see the best in that?
I think
that's all I'm saying.
So I have a couple takes on that. Number one, thank you for the call. Number one, like, baseball's problem is this: the season is too long. People think the problem with baseball is that the games are too boring and the games are too long and there's not enough action during the game. That's not the problem with baseball. I think there's as much action in a baseball game as there is in a football game.
Whoa,
less action
now
in a basketball game. But like soccer is incredibly popular, and there's way more action in baseball than there is in soccer. So, but the problem is that none of these games matter. It's like, well, we lost Tuesday, but we'll play Wednesday, and so the loss Tuesday doesn't really matter. Well, then, damn, why am I supposed to watch? Why do I need to pay $87 to sit in the second level to watch your game Tuesday that if you lose, it doesn't matter? Why? And that's the problem I think that baseball has. So what they need to do is they need to shorten the season and then play the playoffs like around August 15th. And then everybody will care about baseball when you do that. But they won't do that because tradition says, and baseball's making a puttload of money. So tradition says, and then they're making all the money. And yet I still think it's more practical to play these sports when you have like an exclusive window to be able to play them. What's going on in sports in August?
Right.
Preseason football. And as bad as the preseason product is, I think playoff baseball or even pennant race baseball would be more appealing to the masses than, you know, watching the fifth stringer for Oakland out there. But because it's not pennant race baseball, it's just like, eh. And that's a little bit of the problem. And I still think that hockey, if they got themselves away from basketball, where they were not matched up directly with basketball on the opposite side, if they got away from basketball and the final were alone, the Stanley Cup final were by itself, I think you'd see a ton more of interest nationally in the NHL. But they won't do it because that is not how we do it in Canada for the National Hockey League. And so just leaving money out on the table to be had. But I guess, you know, I what do I know? 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Mike Vrabel was asked today about calling out teammates, what he says about it, and if maybe there's a hidden message for one teammate, Marcus, in what he said. We'll get to that next. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 1025 again.